Now from the KSFR newsroom, At Noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Thursday, August 15th. The suspension of Medicaid payments to 15 in-state providers of mental health and substance abuse services in the wake of fraud allegations now has Democratic members of New Mexico's congressional delegation calling for a public forum. Tom Udall, Martin Heinrich, Ben Ray Lujan, and Michelle Lujan Grisham say they've heard too many reports of services delayed and/or canceled. They've asked the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to meet with constituents in the next 2 weeks to hear their grievances and concerns. The freeze on payments to 15 providers has the state now contracting with Arizona companies to prevent disruption of services. In a related matter, the New Mexico Behavioral Health Collaborative is meeting in Santa Fe this afternoon. Among those appearing at Santa Fe's Human Services Department office at 37 Plaza La Prensa is Troy Fernandez of Optum Health. He's set to deliver an update on the Medicaid stop payment crisis. Video conferencing of the proceedings will take place in six other cities around the state. Christus St. Vincent Regional Medical Center in Santa Fe is among a number of hospitals statewide facing a Medicare penalty for exceeding the readmission rate after treatment for certain conditions. Today's New Mexican says the action comes from requirements stipulated by the nation's new Affordable Care Act, and the penalty will be applied as of October 1st. Christus is one of 14 New Mexico hospitals that have higher than expected readmission rates after giving care for heart attacks and pneumonia, and will thus lose a quarter of 1% of their Medicare funds. Santa Fe City Council has approved spending $100,000 to move the city's Arts Commission into space at downtown's Community Convention Center. It's currently housed with other city entities in the Joseph Montoya Federal Building, which the city plans to vacate in October as it relocates to the Market Station complex in the rail yard. In other action, the governing body approved the plans to facilitate attendance at September 5th's annual burning of zizobra at Fort Marcy Park. All city parking facilities will charge a flat $5 fee that evening and will provide shuttle services to the event site. Also, bus transit will be provided from the South Capitol Rail Runner Depot. Two workers fired from the Santa Fe Tortilla Company are back at work after a federal judge granted a temporary injunction against the employer and ordered immediate reinstatement. In a case brought by the National Labor Relations Board, a U.S. district judge found that there was reasonable cause to believe that Yolanda Galaviz and Delfina Bruno were fired in August 2012 because they organized for better working conditions. Such activity is protected under the National Labor Relations Act. The employees had formed a committee to complain about sexual harassment, unsafe conditions, verbal abuse, and no lavatory breaks. The city of Santa Fe reports today that the city's total water consumption has dropped by more than 3.5 million gallons a day compared to this time last year. That's in spite of continuing drought conditions long-term and a 6% increase in the number of customers overall. Our recent summer rains have not had any appreciable effect on water supplies. Our reservoirs are at 32% capacity compared to 43% capacity this time last year. Year-round watering restrictions continue through October 31st, limited to after 6 p.m. and before 10 a.m. New Mexico State Police investigating that Albuquerque South Valley collision Wednesday between an Amtrak train and a tractor-trailer rig hauling automobiles have discovered drug evidence at the scene. KOB-TV's website says neither the type of drug or the amount found has been disclosed, but the nature of their storage will require further investigation. No injuries were reported in the accident, but Amtrak's eastbound Southwest Chief to Chicago was delayed by almost 4 hours. Governor Susana Martinez is encouraging New Mexico's seniors, caregivers, and professionals who work with them to attend the 35th Annual Conference on Aging next week, August 20th and 21st. The event at Albuquerque's Isleta Resort Casino Conference Center will include some 50 workshops of interest for older adults. The governor's press release notes that by 2030, New Mexico will rank fourth among all states for percentage of the population over age 65. There is a fee to attend the conference, but those 55 and older get half off. More info can be found at the state's NM Aging website. Portions of eastern New Mexico have today been witnessing tactical exercise flights by NORAD, the North American Aerospace Defense Command. Folks in the vicinity of Alamogordo and the White Sands Missile Range both saw and heard NORAD-controlled fighter jets in close proximity to various types of U.S. Air Force aircraft. The closely controlled exercises simulate airspace restriction violations, hijackings, and responses to unknown aircraft. They're part of Operation Noble Eagle, NORAD's response to the 9/11 terrorist attacks. AAA New Mexico today reports that the average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas in our state has fallen 6 cents from last week to $3.46. That price is 8 cents below the national average and exactly the same as where it stood 1 year ago. And weather for Santa Fe, monsoonal moisture backs off for the next few days. Look for mostly sunny skies with highs in the low to mid 80s and just a 10% chance for late day showers. Meanwhile, the current Santa Fe temperature now 78 degrees. This is Dan Garrity for KSFR News. At noon, we'll continue in just a moment.
Support comes from the Santa Fe Farmers Market, providing fresh, locally grown food to our community. The Farmers Market is now open every Saturday and Tuesday from 7 a.m. to noon in the rail yard. The Southside Market takes place on Tuesday afternoons from 3 to 6 at the Santa Fe Place Mall parking lot, Zafferano entrance. On Sundays from 10 to 4, the market hosts the Rail Yard Artisans Market, featuring fine arts and crafts, food, music, and more. To learn more, visit SantaFeFarmersMarket.com.
13 minutes past the hour as At Noon now segues to today's feature stories. The nearby Tres Lagunas fire, which raged across thousands of acres of the Pecos Wilderness this summer, has left behind effects that may reverberate for years to come. Following a request by Governor Susana Martinez last week, the U.S. Small Business Administration has made official declaration of disaster. That allows for the offering of low-interest working capital federal loans. Joining us now to discuss the program is Kevin Wynn, Public Information Officer for the U.S. Small Business Administration. Kevin, give us an overview of what this program will provide.
Yes. They would be working capital loans to help small businesses, small agricultural cooperatives, small businesses engaged in aquaculture, and most private nonprofit organizations to help meet their ordinary and necessary financial obligations that could not be met as a result of the Tres Lagunas fire. The loans are intended to assist through the disaster recovery period, and SBA made these available at the request of the governor of New Mexico, Susana Martinez, when we received a request on August the 7th. They are available in San Miguel County and the neighboring counties of Guadalupe, Harding, Mora, Quay, Santa Fe, and Torrance.
And I understand there's a proviso on this. The eligibility is based on the financial impact of the fire only, not on any actual property damage.
That's correct. The property damage would be something that if we had gone down there and there had been 25 or more homes and or businesses impacted, SBA could have declared an agency, and FEMA might have even come down there as well. But this was just the economic impact of the fire in the area itself so that we can get the tax base stabilized and get those businesses up and running again.
And give us the nuts and bolts of the loan instruments themselves. How long a term, how much money, at what interest rate?
Okay. We can loan up to $2 million, and the interest rate is very low at 2.875%. And some of the small businesses have a 4% loan. The 2.875% is for the private nonprofits. Terms up to 30 years. And as I mentioned, they are up to $2 million. So quite a lot of money to help those small businesses get back up and running again. What we also offer, Dan, is a deferral period because we recognize that these businesses have been through a disaster. So they'll get a 5-month deferral before they even need to make their first payment on the low interest loan from the Small Business Administration. Of course, if they need longer, all they need to do is ask their case manager when SBA can work with them, and we can go up to almost a year to get these folks back up and running without having to make a payment on these low interest loans.
And those entities interested in acquiring one of these loans, what must they demonstrate to your office?
What we'll do is they could just go ahead and apply online at disasterloan.sba.gov/ELA. They'll fill out the application quite easy, just a 2- or 3-page application, and then a loan officer will give them a call, and what they'll do is they'll call, they'll bring up their tax returns. We call them back from the IRS. They'll fill out a Form 8821, and SBA will look at the history as well. They'll look at their financial records going back 2 or 3 years and determine that there has been a financial hardship due to the Tres Lagunas fires. SBA will then determine what they can do to help make that working capital loan, help them get through the disaster recovery period. And it's to help meet payroll, notes payable, anything to keep the operation or the business intact and keep it going forward so they don't need to lay off employees, so they can keep that tax stabilization base of the community going.
And the fire occurred back at the end of May. It continued through July. For those folks, those small businesses that are just now beginning to recognize the financial burden it's imposed, what's the time limit for applying for these loans?
They have a very long time, Dan. They have until May 13th of 2014. SBA recognizes that it's going to take a while to get these profit and loss statements coming in and their balance sheet and coordinating with their accountants. What occurred during that period of time from, as you mentioned, May 30th through July 31st, which was the incident period, SBA recognizes that small businesses are going to take a few months to get their balance sheets and their profit and loss statements coordinated, and that's why there's such a long period to apply, like I said, through May 13th, 2014. Another thing I did want to mention is the New Mexico Small Business Development Center, the SBDC, is offering free counseling to these businesses. So they can go in there, and the SBDC can help them amass their financial records, give them some counseling, and that will help them when they go apply for the SBA Small Business Administration Disaster Loan.
What's the total amount of monies allocated for this specific incident?
SBA, we're a direct lender of the federal government, so there's not like a pool of money that SBA sets aside. We have a revolving fund from the SBA for the Office of Disaster Assistance, and so we can meet any financial need of any disaster in the United States of America.
And as we speak today, have you had applications for these loans thus far?
We just declared this on August the 7th. Thus far, there has been no applications in the system yet. But like I said, it does take a few days for folks to get their financial records going.
Anything I failed to ask you that you think would be of further interest to our listeners?
I could only say that if they go online to disasterloan.sba.gov/ELA, it's a very simple application process. Any questions, they can call 800-659-2955. Customer service representatives would be more than happy to help them get that application in, because the quicker they can get it in, the quicker SBA can get out some funds to help that small business stay alive and keep the tax base stabilized in those counties that were declared.
Kevin Wynn, Public Information Officer for the U.S. Small Business Administration, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR, which will continue in just a moment.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by the Pueblo of Tesuque Flea Market, the flea for over 20 years, hosting local and international vendors dealing in everything from handcrafted imports and old pawn jewelry to specialty foods and garage sale finds. Located at 15 Flea Market Road in Santa Fe, right next to the Opera, the Tesuque Flea is open 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from March through December. For more info, email seetheflea@yahoo.com or visit online at tesuquefleamarket.com.
20 minutes past the hour here in the KSFR newsroom as At Noon continues. UNM College of Nursing has joined with the Albuquerque Veterans Administration to join a prestigious Nursing Academy partnership program that will cater to veterans' health needs. Joining us now to talk more about this is Nancy Morton, Undergraduate Program Director for the College of Nursing and the Veterans Affairs Nursing Academy Partnership, also known as VANAP. Nancy, some $5 million has now been granted to fund this initiative over the next 5 years. Tell us what's to come.
Well, first of all, it's in partnership with the New Mexico Veterans Administration healthcare system. So we're partnering together with those funds to be able to hire faculty that will help us develop a closer partnership with the Veterans Administration system, healthcare system here in the state, as well as improve our veterans' information in our nursing curriculum. That money hires faculty, which will allow us then to admit 24 more nursing students every year.
It would seem a highly advantageous initiative to undertake here, as it's estimated that some 20% of our state's population are veterans.
That's absolutely right. Of course, across the country, veteran care is of great concern as us baby boomers get to the age where we're needing more health care. But also, there's a large number of recent veterans from the Middle Eastern wars, and those veterans also need improved care. Not all veterans go to the veteran system. It's veterans go to all of our healthcare systems. So it's really all of our healthcare providers that need more information about veteran care and veteran needs.
And there will be an emphasis on nursing needs unique to the veteran community. Can you speak to those?
Well, there are a couple of important needs for veterans that may not be recognized without knowing that veterans are at greater risk. One is depression and even suicide. And that's a major concern, healthcare concern for the entire country, for all of our veterans. Another issue, of course, is post-traumatic stress syndrome. And I really think that we've learned a lot about post-traumatic stress syndrome and how we can effectively treat it. But first, it has to be recognized. Probably the most important thing for all nurses to include in their routine assessments is to ask people, are they a veteran? And then to follow up and ask them if they've been in conflict. It's not just men, of course, these days that are that might be veterans who have been in conflict, but there are a number of women as well, and an increasing number of women who have been in conflict, veterans who have been in conflict.
And the program would also seem to speak to inspiring confidence in veteran patients by their knowing that their healthcare practitioners are already well-versed with challenges specific to them.
I would hope so. But as I say, it's not just in the veterans community or in the Veterans Administration that we need greater knowledge. It's in all of the healthcare field. As you said, 20% of New Mexico are veterans, and those veterans are often in rural areas where New Mexico has always had a shortage of healthcare practitioners. So our concern is first to increase the general knowledge about healthcare, but also to increase access to healthcare in our rural population where so many of our veterans are. You're right about that personal relationship that needs to develop between healthcare providers, in particular nurses and veterans, and that is often a key part of effective healthcare relationships.
And of that fact that New Mexicans often live in rural areas far from major medical centers, in recent years we've been hearing of advancements in telemedicine. Is that a component of the nurse training program?
Yes, in fact, we're excited about this new partnership with the Veterans Administration because, really, the Veterans Administration has pioneered a couple of techniques. One is the telehealth, and another is their patient-centered care team, which is probably going to be part of the expectations of healthcare in the future. And here is where we can have opportunities for our students to learn how to operate in the healthcare system in the future.
And the monies stand at the ready. Are people being brought into the program right at this time?
Well, even today I will be interviewing faculty candidates. We have already admitted another 8 students for this fall, which will start in September in just a few weeks. So we are busily trying to hire our faculty and get on board our students and jumping right into implementation.
Nancy Morton, Undergraduate Program Director for the College of Nursing, many thanks for joining us here at Noon on KSFR. More of At Noon for you in just a moment.
Jim Hightower returns to Santa Fe on August 24th in a benefit for KSFR. Join us on Saturday the 24th for a talk and reception at Museum Hill Cafe starting at 5:30. Tickets are $35 and proceeds benefit the station. To reserve your seat, visit us online at ksfr.org or call 428-1527. That's 428-1527 for an evening with Jim Hightower on August 24th at the Museum Hill Cafe. And you can now catch Hightower's commentaries on KSFR weekday afternoons right before Democracy Now!
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by Green Fire Times, a new monthly publication focusing on all things green, including health, healing, organic foods, nutrition, permaculture, sustainability, green-collar jobs, and renewable energy. Green Fire Times is distributed at newsstands from Albuquerque to Taos. More information and an online edition can be found at greenfiretimes.com.
Taking a look at some financial news at midday, the world's biggest retailer, Walmart, has reported higher quarterly profits in the second quarter. Profits rose 1.3% to $4.1 billion in the 3 months to July from the same period last year, where analysts had expected slightly more. Walmart has revised down its sales expectations for the full year. It now expects net sales to grow between 2 and 3% in 2013, compared to a previous projection of 5 to 6%. Mike Duke, Walmart's president and chief executive officer, said the retail environment had been challenging across all of the firm's markets worldwide. The news is being credited with today's rough ride on Wall Street, where the Dow is currently off 203 points at 15,133, the Nasdaq off 57 at 3,611, and the S&P 500 off 22 at 1,663. 28 minutes past the hour. Now it's time to spend our usual 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
It would probably be really interesting to be inside the mind of someone who advocates the private ownership of assault weapons with high-capacity clips. Well, maybe it wouldn't be really interesting. Heck, probably not even interesting. Being in the mind of someone who advocates private ownership of assault weapons would most likely be similar to walking into a bathroom that contained a lot of stones, like rocks in his head. Recently, I saw a pickup that had on the back of its window, no, not a gun rack, silly. He had on his back window the two words modern musket. Not muskrat, but musket. You know, that really old-fashioned gun that was used during the Revolutionary War. Below the words modern musket, our Mensa pickup driver had a silhouette of what looked like an AK-47. An AK-47 as the modern musket? I think I need a shot. Make that a double, please. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we'll conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Dan Garrity with you here at the news desk. We'll be back tomorrow with more news of and for New Mexico for you. And as always, we hope you join us.